This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughing Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Welcome back to the theater, the Laughing Theater, if you will, here on the Place to Be Nation Pup Feed. I am your host, Andy Atherton. Thank you for joining me tonight. Here we got a great show lined up for you, a great movie, one of my personal favorites. And I'm going to be joined by a gentleman from Place to Be Nation who has his own show and a presence on our website. He is well known around these parts, Mr. Glenn Butler. Glenn, thank you for joining me tonight for this theatrical showing, release, movie, screening. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So, Glenn, you are the host of the Glenn Butler Hour Spectacular show on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. It's more of a special appearance show these days, but you have a nice history of a nice archive, if we will say, of shows. Tell us a little bit about the Spectacular for people that may not have heard one yet.
Yes, the Glenn Butler's podcast Hour Spectacular is a show where I put in my regular appearances all through 2016, and now I'm on the part-timer, old-timer status.
You got the
where
John
I just
Cena
schedule. Exactly. I just kind of come in and put my spots in. It's a show where primarily myself and my brother talk about various things that we watch or read or listen to or enjoy. I've done episodes about Star Trek, many episodes about Star Trek. In 2016, for the 50th anniversary, we did all the movies. We've had stuff on some of the TV shows. We've done a lot of episodes on film scores for the Oscars every year. We like to go through the nominees for the score category and kind of discuss those. And just this past winter, in the lead up to this year's Oscars, we started doing archive vault shows where we talk about the nominees from years past to try to get kind of a historical perspective. So we're going to be coming back to that eventually. I can't promise that right away, but we do have a couple ideas for episodes that are coming up. I did episodes on the last two seasons of Stranger Things, and that's happening again this year. So I'll hope to be back for that. And whenever I can get myself to actually do a show and put my spots in, I'll be right back on the feed.
Awesome. Yeah, we love having you here on the feed. What do you think of the trailer for season 3 for Stranger Things that just dropped?
I wasn't really wowed, but they haven't failed me yet. So
yeah.
I don't know how many times they can do the same basic structure without getting old, but I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that's one of those where sometimes they lead you one direction and they kind of misdirect you and end up going in another way. But
yeah, maybe they do seem to have realized that the kids are getting older now, so that's definitely a big part of it going forward.
Yeah, and it takes place at a mall in the 80s, which is awesome for anybody who's around our age.
Yeah, they had to do the mall eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. And then you also have a weekly column over on placetobenation.com. Why don't you tell us about that quickly?
Yes, the Wednesday walk around the web is a link roundup that I do of links and articles and such that I find interesting or entertaining or thought-provoking sometimes, that is basically a whirlwind tour of some of the things that I'm reading and some of the things that I would like to point other people to. Mm-hmm. That is posted 9 a.m. sharp every Wednesday morning at placetobenation.com. And aside from a brief interruption when we had kind of website difficulties, it's been going with very few interruptions for almost 10 years.
Awesome. Yeah, I catch it as often as I can and click on the links. It's a lot of fun, you know, if you ever just want to find some interesting stories that you may not find otherwise. You know, Glenn points it out for all of us. He brings it to our attention, and we have a lot of fun with it. So, Glenn, you want to tell everybody what movie you and I are going to watch tonight?
Today, we are watching the 1981 classic, The History of the World, Part 1, by Mr. Mel Brooks.
Glenn, it really made my heart grow so much when you made this choice, when I asked you to be on the show, because this is one of my personal favorites all time. I mean, literally, I'm going to have to really work hard not to cite the entire movie as we watch it tonight. So so why did you pick this movie, Glenn?
Because only a miracle can save me.
It's a miracle. Awesome.
Mel Brooks is someone who's near and dear to my heart, a lot of his movies, and I wanted to try to pick one that wasn't, like, too obvious, like, you know, Young Frankenstein or A Blazing Saddles, which are great, mm-hmm. but I think History of the World is kind of in, like, the second drawer of Mel Brooks' movies, but it's still one that I really love.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the top three to me. It's Blazing Saddles, it's History of the World, and I would probably throw Spaceballs up there because, you know, it actually took my first date, actually, 15 years old, went to see Spaceballs with a girl, and we went to Fuddruckers afterwards, I remember. How familiar? So have you seen every Mel Brooks? Because I recently, not recently, within the last few years, I actually finally got to see the movies that I was missing from the whole Mel Brooks collection, I guess, if you will.
There are a few of his movies that I haven't seen. Some of the earlier ones. I don't think I ever saw High Anxiety or Silent Movie, I don't think.
Oh, Glenn. Hi, are you a Hitchcock fan?
A little bit.
Yeah, High Anxiety is a lot of fun. It has almost the exact same cast list as this movie.
Well, that's the thing. Many of his, because there are so many awesome, awesome performers that why wouldn't you just keep working with them again and again?
Yeah, yeah, they're a great dynamic. Silent Movie is really funny. A great joke that I don't know how much you know about, so I won't give spoil. One joke that, you know, I mean, people younger than us probably won't get it anyway because they won't know who this person is. But the movie I actually finally saw was 12 Chairs, which a few years ago, I think that was like his first movie. It was funny and kind of depressing at the same time. It has Dom DeLuise in it. Basically, a treasure gets hidden in a chair as part of a set. And this character, I think it was played by Frank Langella, a very young Frank Langella, and he's out to find this chair, and it's part of a set of 12, so they have to keep going finding these chairs and ripping them open until they finally find this treasure. It's not slapstick parody stuff that you used to from Mel Brooks that he became known for more. But if you're a Mel Brooks completist, I would definitely recommend seeking that out. All right, now let's go to the other end of the spectrum. What do you think is your least favorite Mel Brooks movie?
Oh, geez.
I know what everybody tries to say.
out of the ones that I've seen, the one that fell the flattest was probably Dracula Dead and Loving It.
That's the one everybody usually points to. Yeah, I mean, I think he was trying too hard. In that one, I think he was, Leslie Nielsen is great, but I think Leslie Nielsen was, you know, too known for Naked Gun. I guess. I don't know. Steven Weber was in it. I remember, I think, What's-Her-Face was in it, too. The one who was married to John Ritter when he passed away. Amy Asbeck was in it as well. So, I mean, it had its moments, but I wasn't a big fan of that movie. I don't think I revisited it since it first came out, I think.
Yeah, it is the last one that he actually directed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can make a case that it's kind of reaching toward the end of his directing career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then we'll a couple more questions, and we'll get on to the movie. So, which version of the producers do you like? Do you like the original with Zero Mostel and Gene Wilder, or the remake with Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane?
I never had any time for the remake. I didn't actually make an effort to see it.
Okay.
I mean, Nathan Lane is fine, and Matthew Broderick, I'm sure is fine, but that was one remake that I didn't really have any time for.
Okay.
Any interest in.
I mean, if you're flipping channels and it comes on, I give it a watch. But yeah, the original is so good. But I remember when I worked in New York, I used to watch. I worked for MTV for a little while, and my office that I shared with another producer, we oversaw the theater where they were doing the Broadway version with Nathan and Matt. And it was like every day I would like get up, you know, walk around. I just look outside, see the line of people out there. And I never got around to seeing the show, but you know, the movie was fine. Okay. And then also, what about Mel Brooks outside of his movies? Like any of his acting appearances, any of his that you're a fan of that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, it's always great just to see him turn up.
Yeah.
Because he's still got the same like sharp wit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if he's not, you know, turning things out like he used to when he was only in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure something outside of his movies that I would particularly point to, but it's just great to see him when he does pop up in something.
Yeah, he was on. I wasn't a big Curb Your Enthusiasm watcher, which is kind of funny because I love Seinfeld. But he was on that one when they had Larry was cast in it, and they kind of did a play on the producers where they were hoping to have it close, you know, because Larry mm-hmm. was such a bad actor. That was a kind of funny kind of a rift they did. Also, I don't know if you ever watched Mad About You when that was on. He played Paul's Uncle Phil. So he would show up sporadically, and there was one episode that was really funny. He got arrested. You want to guess what he got arrested for if you haven't seen it?
No, I wouldn't know.
He got arrested for using too many coupons.
Oh, okay.
he called them coupons. And he does this. I would actually seek that out. He is hysterical in this courtroom scene where he this whole rant about coupons. And as somebody who grew up in a house with, I'm not Jewish, but I have a Jewish grandmother because she was my grandmother was Jewish and her first husband was Jewish before she married my grandfather. So I had a lot of that in my family, that kind of shtick going on. So it resonated with me.
Oh yeah, well, that's something we'll get into much more when we're watching the movie. But his humor is so Jewish.
Yeah, very Catskill Borscht Belt kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So, all right, we're going to start in 1 second. Let me just do our little thing we like to do here now on our shows. We call it the live read. So let me just plug some stuff, and then we'll hit play. So we had a busy week on the Pop Feed with a little something for everyone. In the newest Hard Traveling Fanboys, Greg and Nick deliver a spoiler-filled review of Captain Marvel. Also, myself, I was joined by Scott Criscolo and Miranda Berthold, and we did our own Captain Marvel. We were kind of the everyman kind of review, and they had Nick and we left all the deep dive comic lore stuff to Nick and Greg because those guys are awesome at that. And then mm-hmm. Jason Sherman, I'm a bit of a busy guy. I was on the first episode of PTBN's E-Ticket Attraction, hosted by Jason Sherman, along with Neil Trauma. And we dove into an intense look at Disney's Magic Kingdom, as well as Epcot's Festival of the Arts. And also, hopefully, I don't know if it'll be still, voting will still be open, but stop by Geek and Sassy, the Facebook page. They're having their second annual Sassy Awards, so I don't know if the voting will be closed by the time you guys hear this, but if it's not, go ahead and make some votes. If it is, you know what, tune into the show. And then over on the wrestling feed, We continue our deep dive inside the vault with the classic Where the Big Boys Play episodes. This time, Chad and Parr finished their look at the Great American Bash 1987. Also, JT and Chad return with a new Wrestling Warzone podcast as they break down the Raw Nitro from 12-18-95 featuring more Santa Claus. And also on last week's main event, Scott Criscolo, Steve Woolley, and Nate Milton broke down Fastlane and started out to lay their thoughts on WrestleMania. They also deliver the newest classic TNA pay-per-view recap. And then in episode 4 of You Don't Know Billy Jack, Drew introduces Jordan to the classic Henning Bockwinkel time limit draw. Also, be sure to check out PlaceOfNation.com as things are getting back up and running there as March rolls in. Content will be picking up in the days and weeks to come, especially every Wednesday for the weekly Wednesday walk around the web. And then Yes, it is the longest running weekly column on all of PlaceOfNation.com.
How's that? Sure is.
A little riff on what Greg and Nick do. And then also, finally, be sure to give a like to the PTBN Greatest Candy Tournament Facebook page so you can participate in the daily polls as we determine which candy is indeed the greatest candy of all time. The polls are also on Twitter if that's your preferred social media platform. Things kicked off on March 10th, and a champion will be crowned on Easter Sunday. Every day, 4 new matchups go up. The matchups stay up for 2 days, and then we move on. So depending on when you hear this, we may be in the second round probably. But keep those votes up and keep them coming. Glenn, do you have a particular candy that you'd like to see do well in this tournament?
I'm voting Reese's Pieces all the way. That's my weakness.
Okay. They are the number 2 seed in the chocolate candy category. So we could see a showdown between Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Reese's Pieces in the Elite Eight. So
that would be something.
That will be. We'll see how people prefer it. Their Reese's. Okay. All that out of the way. Glenn, you ready to start?
Sure am.
All right, those of you, if you're going to watch along with Glenn and I, so get your DVD, your Blu-ray, whatever you have, your download, your streaming, I don't know if it's streaming anymore, and let the 20th Century Fox open play, you know, kind of thing. All right, and then and let it go to black, and that's where we're at right now. So, Glenn, are you ready to hit play?
Yes, I am. Just so people know, in case their copies have the same time as mine, I am at 21 seconds after the Fox logo.
Okay, I don't know if I'm doing it on my PlayStation. I don't know how to get the time thing up, I don't think.
All right,
but now we'll see where we're at. Okay, ready to hit play in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Brooks' film comes up. So we're on, and now it goes down. So we're synced up, Glenn?
Yeah.
All right, starring the great Mel Brooks.
The great Dom DeLuise. Oh, everyone's the great.
I know.
The great. Oh, the incredible Madeline Kahn. Oh, everything she did.
Die too young.
Oh, completely.
Harvey. Cloris is still kicking.
Yeah, I think so.
Ron Carey. He passed away within the last couple of years, I believe. Another guy that died too young, Gregory Hines. Pamela Stevenson. I think she's the Vestal Virgin, I believe. Yeah.
Shucky Green and Sid Caesar, speaking of the Borscht Belt.
Oh, no, Miriam, and Orson Welles, how funny is that you have Orson Welles narrating a comedy? And then we rise up with Early Man.
Yeah, we're starting with the 2001 opening.
Yes, that's true. And they say, you know, Early Man comes to his feet, and you see all these basically Neanderthals rising up. And then it all goes south from there, so to speak. They all have their...
I mean, everything after this was a mistake. The invention of agriculture really did us in as a species, you know?
Yeah. I know they're all beating their chests. And then... their hands start to slowly go south, and they make a gesture that men often do.
And yes, here they are.
And yes, and then the Cairo comes up, our forefathers. Yes, you said it right, Glenn. Everything was downhill from here. Luckily, this is a short scene, and this is the one guy that just, yeah, here we go. He's up, what? He's down. Ugh. So, go ahead.
You know, there's no joke too cheap, you know?
No, not especially in these kind of movies. Glenn, when did you see this for the first time? Since you were probably, in 1981, you were, what, probably like 8, 7, 6, something like that?
No, in 1981, I would not be born for another 3 years.
Oh my God, Glenn, you're that much younger than me? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I guess so. No, this is one that was on basic cable when mm-hmm. I was growing up all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got most of, you know, the Mel Brooks movies and so many other movies. But just in terms of Mel Brooks movies, you know, Spaceballs and Young Frankenstein and History of the World were on like Comedy Central and other the basic cable stations all the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And even Blazing Saddles, as much of that as you can get in a TV edit.
Yes. So here we are. We're in the Stone Age with Sid Caesar. And they start off with he's trying to make fire with a rock. And a guy comes over with a torch. And he tries to light the rock on fire and use that to light his fire, but doesn't work. So now we have Stone, our first artist, I guess they call it. Very little, no dialogue, just grunting in this whole section, which is, you know, apropos. Sid was so good at facial expression comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I love how he sees he's the artist and everybody's like, wow, ooh. And then very into his art, so to speak. He's like, And then here comes the afterbirth, the critic. Just so deadpan, just is looking at his work. Yep. And then he
was ever thus.
Yes. And I bet you there are many critics that wish they could express themselves this way. And he lifts up his whatever you call it, his fur thing and gives his feelings on Sid's art there.
Yeah, well, in the modern day, people have to metaphorically piss on things.
Yes. We have the mating ritual.
Is 1981 about as late as you could get away with, like, this sort of depiction of prehistoric people? Because, I mean, it's very – where did the idea even come from that, you know, the way you get a mate in prehistoric days was just to bonk someone on the head? That's probably been in the walk sometime, like, 7 years ago, and I forgot about it. But that idea must have come from someplace.
I mean, I mean, it wasn't like that in the Flintstones, I guess. I can tell you that.
Well.
So, yeah. So, here, the first of the, I guess he makes a spear. I love that. The guy just says, hey, oop, I got a spear in my stomach. Yeah. For me, I first saw this in high school. Probably senior, a friend of mine had it. One night, we're at his house, and I'm like, what's this? Because, I mean, I'd seen probably Spaceballs by then. Yeah, so yeah, it came out a little earlier. I'd seen a little bit other Mel Brooks movies. But, yeah, I saw it once, and I was like, oh, my God, what is this? This parody comedy? Oh, my God. I got the VHS, and I literally wore it out. I watched it. It was something I watched, like, probably close to weekly for a few years. And then they have the ritual here of the guy that just got a spear in the stomach. Yeah, Mel Brooks, a lot of this comedy and a lot of these ideals and depictions, today's world will not take a lot of this stuff. You know, people will, you know, take it the wrong way or whatever, not kind of get the joke or what he's trying to do.
Well, I don't know. Most of it, I don't know. Most of it isn't really the kind of like mean-spirited stuff.
No.
Is really like objectionable. There's nothing like bitter about a Mel Brooks movie, I think.
No. No, and we just had the dinosaur eat the comedian, and that's what got a laugh. And now the invention of music by dropping a huge rock on somebody's foot, having him scream and yell. Oh, it's too funny. Goonga, I think that was his name. Goonga is the character's name of Sid Caesar.
Yes, yes.
Too funny.
I mean, this whole sequence being carried by Sid Caesar and Orson Welles.
Yes, yes. I mean, some of these people in here are kind of recognizable, but I mean, I would probably have to see them in something else. Like the one guy that gets hit with the spear. I think he's been in other stuff. He's one of those character actors that just shows up in like probably in the late 70s, early 80s a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, very sort of Flintstone-y-esque how they're doing the music.
Yeah.
And then there's the guy who was the critic that gets the worst of it. Ah, great scene. The Old Testament now we're on to.
Yes, one of the most famous mm-hmm. parts of the movie.
And it's so funny. He comes out as Moses, and then he starts talking like a normal, like a everyday, like a today person. He's like, oh
well, that's half the joke mm-hmm. in certainly this and a lot of Mel Brooks movies where, you know, the joke is that people were always just people.
Yeah, it's nothing gunnish. Forget it. I could hear you. A deaf man could hear you.
Oh, he can hear you.
Wow. After he hits the... Oh, Lord. Wow. There he goes. He just says it. Probably one of my favorite sequences of the entire movie right here.
Yes.
Comes out with the three tablets. Five commandments a tablet. Oops. These 15. Oh, fuck it. 10 commandments for all to obey. Short and sweet.
And on we go to the main body of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Roman Empire. Probably done on a backlot somewhere.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Really, really, really good costumes, though, and everything. You know, and this is where a lot of the cameos appear in this sequence here. In this, yes, Toby, you're not interested in the movie? Okay. This guy, I don't know. The columns guy, I don't know. I love how they have the Vs. The Us are the Vs.
Yes. Ionic, Doric, Corinthian, get your columns here.
Don't touch the merchandise.
I mean, it's the same joke, right? People were always people. People are shilling stuff on the street. It's just Roman stuff. But it's I don't know. It works.
Yeah. Now we have Charlie Callis being mm-hmm. silly. Long journey. Charlie Callis is almost like one of those living cartoon characters, with just the way he would just have his face and his expressions.
Yeah, just the way he extends his neck.
Oh my God! Yeah. Oh Jesus! Yeah, that neck is like one of those like a lizard or something.
The used chariot dealer.
Yes. Here we go. Annual orgy and buffet. First serve, first come. At the Temple of Eros. Now I actually didn't get this next joke or next cameo until somebody pointed out to me because I was an idiot back then. But you have Hugh Hefner smoking a pipe, saying he's got a new concept, a centerfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one I gotta say I didn't get when it was running on Comedy Central when I was 9 years old.
Yeah. And there's Pat McCormick, who a character actor from the late 70s, early 80s. I only really know him from the Smokey and the Bandit movies, where he was the big Earl or big whatever. Him and Paul Williams were the ones that set the bandit up for the Coors run or whatever the hell they did. And here we go. Here's B. Arthur now in another cameo.
Yes.
This was probably around Maud time, probably. I'm not sure when Maud premiered.
Oh, well, Maud would have been like mid-70s.
Oh, okay.
So I think Maud was over by this time.
All right. Yeah, and when did the Golden Girls come out? Was that the late 80s?
Golden Girls started, I think, 86.
All right, so we're about 5 years pre. And then here's Mel Brooks, Comicus, character's name, saying he's a stand-up philosopher. And Mel and B just calls him out on it. You're a bullshit artist. Mm-hmm. Did you bullshit last week? Did you try to bullshit last week? Yes. And then Ron Carey, who appears in many, many movies.
Things were easier in ancient times in some ways. You could just, you know, say any bullshit and call it philosophy.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, there were people in ancient Greece like, I think everything is water. I am an esteemed philosopher.
And then B goes on her wine break before he gets the money because his agent ruined it. Swiftest Lazarus. Yeah, Ron played, he was in High Anxiety. He plays the chauffeur, the driver. I'm trying to remember his name. He has a very funny sequence where he's constantly trying to lift up things, and they're too heavy, and he's like, I got it, I don't got it, and he puts it down.
And of course, he just had one of those lines that was oft quoted in my house through the years, NVTS nuts.
Yeah. Yes. You're going to play Caesar's Palace, the main room. We have the slave auction. And they're, different times, I guess. at least they weren't all of the same color, so to speak. You know, Mel made it that anybody could have been a slave. And then we have the great Gregory Hines coming up.
Gregory Hines with Mel Brooks once again having to find a replacement for Richard Pryor when he turned out he couldn't be in the movie.
Oh, really? I didn't know Richard was supposed to be in this one.
Just like Blazing Saddles.
Oh, wow.
It was supposed to be Richard Pryor, but I think this was made right after. Didn't Richard Pryor have some big incident where, like, he went on a drug binge and, like, set himself on fire or something?
Yeah.
I think that was right before they were supposed to cast him in this, and so we missed out on that.
Yeah, he was probably one of those, you wouldn't get the insurance if you had him in the movie probably back then. I mean, he did turn around not long, because his run with Gene Wilder was going on soon, or probably, I mean, you know, Silver Streak and...
Yeah, Silver Streak was like 76, 77.
Oh, and then Stir Crazy and all that. And then Gregory does a Hava Nagila to try to prove he's Jewish, and they take one look down his tunic, so to speak, and they figure that out. It was not correct. All right. Always the performer. And he's doing the little tap dancing there. Born to do it.
Got to get a little vaudeville in the movie.
Yeah. Well, Mel's actually a really big sing and dance guy, too. He's so old school, like from those days when, you know, that was how you performed. You know, you little song.
Oh, a little bit of everything.
Yeah. You know, and they're eating it up. The whole crowd is kind of like, it's mildly amused. Everybody else is like, kind of like, and they're like clapping away. Mel and Ron here, Swiftus and Comicus. And then there's a horse down. Is that Miracle?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And then the Vestal Virgin, Miriam, comes out to try to stop it.
Hey, you think any animals were harmed in the making of this motion picture?
I hope not.
Yeah.
And then Mel Brooks knocks somebody out and hurts his hand.
Yeah, the big Mel Brooks action scene.
He's like, kiss my hand. And then he's got to play, the mouse in the lot. He's got to go rescue take the piece of whatever out of the horse. Now he's now he's a friend for life. And now we have the, Swiftus recognizes it because he's a gambler. The fastest horse in the Circus Maximus. Wonder if they use peanut butter, Mr. Ed.
Maybe.
We're going to be at the palace. Really? You're a Vestal Virgin. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, and then Gregory gets his own little action sequence there. He knocks out the guy about to hit Mel. The main course at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. Is the agent like looking, try to sign him? They don't. Nope. I'm good. I'm not going to touch the Vessel Virgin. No, never say that to the cops.
Honkus.
I love this. And he says to him, "Do you know what the penalty is for a slave hanging over his sister?" And everybody raises their hand. I do. Then they have the best answer. They shove a living snake up your ass. Oh, no, but that's very creative.
Hey, you know what? If it's your thing, I'm not here to judge.
They send you to the lions. No. What do you mean, no? It's right. They send you to the lions. And here comes Bob. Ooh, that miserable piece of shit. And the great Malin Khan as
the
Empress Nympho. The first time I heard them say that, I was like, what is her name? Stop. And she's chewing gum in ancient Rome. My tits are falling off. Which guy? She gets caught in her stuff. That's another trope back then. Oh, Bob, do I have any openings that this man might fit? I could use another wine, Stuart.
I got a great corkscrew. Hey,
this is a hip crowd. What do you think, out of all the Mel Brooks movies she was in, which Mel Khan performance is your favorite?
Oh, man. I mean, you can't get over Blazing Saddles, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she
break for Wild Boars. although for Madeline Kahn, just like with so many people, I always go to Clue.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're doing a comedy show. Talk about one of the greatest comedies ever.
Very underrated. Became a cult classic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they're actual Caesar Palace Casino Hotel Casino. Yeah. There's Dom.
Mm-hmm.
His laugh is just so infectious. I remember I saw this, and then here comes the, I don't know what you call this guy, the crier or whatever, but he's a little over the top.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and then I had seen, Cannibal Run, and, he was in Smokey Bandit 2, so I was just used to, big, bearded Dom DeLuise, and I see this, clean-shaven, youngish-looking guy. It was quite different. And he was great.
A bit of a shift, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in Blazing Saddles, oh my God, that was in 74, how much younger he was. He plays Buddy. We actually just talked to Mel Brooks on Year in Pop, because we just did 1974, so that was when Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein came up.
Man, imagine getting both of those done in the same year. That is really working on a high level.
And Blazing Saddles actually was the box office highest grossing movie that year. Per IMDb, so I hope that's correct. And now here's Shecky Green as, what was he, Mark Anthony? He just came back from defeating the Cretans at Sparta. Make that the Spartans at Crete. Oh, blow it out your ass. Oh, Caesar. Ooh. Yeah, Dom DeLuise hits himself. out comes a crepe. He looks so bored. What's under the sheet? The sheet? Oh, the sheet. An alabaster bathtub. That other guy next to him is a character actor, too. I can't remember his name, but he was in a lot of stuff, too.
Oh, I'm sure they were, packing him in.
Yeah, he's the guy that later on says, I flunk flank. Mm-hmm. And then here comes the game show music. It's like, what's behind curtain number one? Treasure bath. I'm going to take a treasure bath. Now, who among us has not wanted to take a treasure bath?
Well, I mean, I was conditioned from a young age by the DuckTales, so.
Oh, yes, that's true. That's like every kid's dream, to dive in a big pit of money. It's so funny, though, because money's actually really dirty.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man, you'd have to disinfect it so hard.
Yes. And then here's Shecky hitting on Mal in here. The servant waits while the master baits. Something got a little stuck out of there. Now, this is a line that me and my friends used a lot. Oh, here, wash this. Between that, like, we would do a thing where we would hand somebody and we would either say, here, wash this, or what can you make of this? I'll make a hat or a brooch or a pterodactyl.
I love how between one shot and another, he suddenly has a big turkey leg in his hand.
Yes.
Like, it's another joke that's, you know, well, that's not ideal, but I mean, it's another joke that's just stupid, but it's so good.
And the small liar, they bring a little guy who's, the check is in the mail. I swear, I was at a friend's house.
Oh, he said, man.
Get him out of here. Here comes Josephus at his new job as a wine steward.
Mm-hmm.
Say when? 8:30.
Yeah.
Physical comedy was always something good with Dom DeLuise as well. We just fall.
Yeah, there's
off.
Always time. There's always time for a good pratfall.
Yeah. And here comes Comicus to do his stand-up. And this is very Catskills. This routine here.
Yeah, totally.
The way he tells it. And apparently everything's so funny, Dom DeLuise just keeps spitting stuff out. Gotta love the spit takes. How do you make a Venetian blind like this? A pluck. How poor are the Christians? They are so poor, they only have one God. Then he goes into a whole thing about gods.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the steward or whatever he is, the guy that's next to Dom, I always thought he kind of looked like the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
And of course, he he takes the apple out of the pig's mouth and puts it in. And of course, he tells a fat joke with the emperor right there.
Mm-hmm.
Know your audience. Was he talking about me? I believe he was, sire. Do you think he meant me? I think he did, sire. And there's his agent yelling, I'm telling him what to do. Now, as anybody's ever performed on stage, once you get thrown off, it's hard to get back on track. There's everybody trying to wonder what the hell he's going to do. And he's like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to do politics. That's a good call to do at the Emperor's Palace, don't you think?
Always.
That's why we in Place to Be Nation are a non-denominational, non-partisan website. We stay away from that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm pretty partisan, but I have, you know, I do my thing. You yeah. do your thing.
Yes. And then he talks about the corruption, and then they, you know, they're like, nope, you're done. And apparently he was so funny, Gregory Hines can't keep his, you know, can't do his job straight. And spills wine all over Dom DeLuise. Which, you know, which is disappointing because he just took a treasure bath. So he's basically, oh, he spilled wine on me, kill him.
Yeah, when you die at the palace, you do die at the palace.
I had a wonderful idea. What was my idea? He sends him to Balliol. Now, this is not... What Star Trek was that from, where Kirk and Spock had to fight each other?
Yes, that was the season 2 premiere, Amok Time, when yeah. Spock was in heat.
Yeah, this is not that.
No, not quite.
You just see the way they look, and they're just so ridiculous in their outfits. And they go to En Garde. Gregory Hines, Knoxville, books his sword out. He's like, oh, let me get that. Let me wipe it off here. Here you go. It's kind of like watching like two nerds get into a fight, basically. Oh, a banana peel joke right there.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory Hines goes down. Mel Brooks begs for his life. Let him die, as he puts his finger in something. Whipped cream or something. Tough shit. I remember showing this to my dorm sophomore year. We had a big class, so they ended up putting us, or the next year's freshman class was so big, they put some of them in freshman dorms. And I remember my whole hall was freshmen, and a lot of them hadn't seen this movie, and I showed it to them. And that there's one guy, he used that Let Him Die, like, almost at dinner, like, weekly.
Oh, that's fun.
Let Him Die. We're like, okay, we got it, Alex, okay.
Yeah.
Now, these two guys who couldn't barely fight each other fight off the entire Royal Guard here.
Well, you know, these things are needed for purposes of plot.
There's a cut the rope scene in a lot of Mel Brooks movies too. Robin Hood Men in Tights for one.
Oh, yep.
And then all of a sudden a duck comes out of Dom DeLuise's tuchus.
Hey, you know what? I'm not here to judge.
And the bumbling idiots of the Royal Guard. Now, these, I understand, were all Playboy centerfolds in this scene.
Yeah, they were playmates. That's how Hugh Hefner got involved in all this.
Ah. Virgins? Fallout. No, Rose Pell, just like Coming to America. Oh, forget that shit. I almost fell.
Well, these are the difficulties of the rich, you know, with marble floors and such.
Oh, yeah.
You got a feel for them, really.
And she's asking about what's going to happen to the two nitwits if they're caught. If they're caught, they're hung. They hope so. Oh, where are we going? Oh, you got to pick your escort for the orgy, right? Oh, I completely forgot. Oh, my God. Ugh. Duty calls. And here's QuickTime Harch. And they're all sure cocking it. Kind of like Donald Duck.
Yes, exactly like Donald Duck.
And now she's going through trying to pick her favorite, I guess, so to speak. Yes, no, no, yes, yes, no, yes, no, yes. So she does the front row and goes back and does the back row. And this poor woman's trying to write down all these answers. And then she finds it. She's very sure about that decision, too. And the guards, well, actually not yet. Mel Brooks is being hidden, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that? Is that a man? We need some
a lot of drape and curtain play going on.
Yes. In come the guards. And they're not supposed to be in there. She lets them have it. We're about to confront guys.
Yeah, that's what I think whenever I have to go outside.
And they all have to put on their no entry signs around their waist. Now, the only men that are allowed in there are the eunuchs, and one of these things is not like the others. One is a little svelte more than the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime a man hears the word snipped, it's not a good thing.
Well, it's time for the classic boner jokes.
Yes. Yes, they bring out, what the hell's her name, the character? Trying to find it on the IMDb here.
Caledonia,
okay. Where nothing shall arise. Oh, Pamela Stevenson, she plays Mademoiselle Grimbald later on in the movie. That's who it was. Mary Margaret Humes. And here comes Caledonia. Very scantily clad. Doing a dance of speak. A seduction.
In tribute to Eros, of course.
Yes.
And she probably might have had a treasure bath as well.
Gregory Hines is a... Gene Simmons' tongue comes out. And now she goes eunuch to eunuch to see if they really are eunuchs. He's definitely a eunuch. He's definitely a eunuch. He's dead. And then we come to... he's already losing it. And poor Josephus. He'll never survive. And then the feather goes up. And gone. Meanwhile, nobody knows Mel Brooks.
Right, of course.
And here we go, the Senators. Bullshit, 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 bullshit. Get your cloaks.
As is said in the era in the Roman Empire when they didn't quite yet have horses in the Senate.
Ah. Oh, the Senate. Shh, quiet. I think that's Paul Is that Paul Mazursky there?
I think so.
Yeah. Let me see. Fuck the poor. Now they find each other finally. They all get into their greatest senator garb. They're plotting their escape from Rome now. You just met. You're gonna escape. You had a great job at the palace. This guy's a comedian. You don't know when he's gonna work again. She really didn't think this through, I don't think.
Well, you know, it's all very spur of the moment.
Yeah. You know, the heart wants what the heart wants, I guess.
Yes, and the feather as well.
Yes, that's true. Alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Give to Oedipus. Hey, Josephus. Hey, motherfucker.
There aren't enough Oedipus goofs in comedies nowadays.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Zach Galifianakis make an Oedipus gag.
Of course, there'd be a Funky Town playing right now. The Trojan Horse. Killed them in Greece. Athenia Globe.
God.
Filled with soldiers. Filled with soldiers and laughs. And laughs. I've actually never read that before. That is, watch is a... sand an hourglass.
There's no joke too cheap to go for.
Yes.
You got the dick jokes, you got the prop comedy, you got the pratfalls, everything is in this thing.
There's something for everybody here.
Yeah. Walk this way. Just simple gags, you know?
They all come out in costume. We fought you their head to the left. We fought you their head to the right. And who, you know, most people just walk around dressed like soldiers.
Well, you know, we all had that phase in high school.
The cops, Sorry, sir. I flunk flank. Get the flunk out of here.
It's time for the wordplay part of the evening.
Yes. And then there's the chemist played by... You know what, Glenn?
I'm not remembering right now.
Henny Youngman.
Oh, right, of course.
What are you looking for? A pack of Trojans. Gee, I just ran out. I believe that guy, that the Flunk Flank guy, I believe he plays the a killer in High Anxiety.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of... Cloris Leachman and Harvey Korman are just hysterical in that movie together. Let's think about this. They need a miracle. If I have it, there's miracle.
Oh, there's your Mr. Ed moment.
Yes. And now they're caught. I'm fighting with cardboard. Goodbye, head. Hello, balls. Nothing like watching somebody get hit in the crotch. It's like watching America's Funniest Home Videos.
Sure.
Get them in. Get the chariots. Go after them. Get me an ice pack. The big chasing. Let's let the guy whose helmet is too big drive so he can't see. Here's the big chase scene.
Yep.
Well, that miracle can go, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, they finally get a lead on them. And they lost them.
Beautiful location shooting.
Yes. And that must be some powerful Roman red that Gregory Hines smelled, because it's not even burning. And he smells it.
Yeah.
A whole field of wacky weedus. Now he's got to get some rolling papyrus. And then proceeds to
I mean, there's every kind of joke in this thing.
The biggest joint ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought the joints in Revenge of the Nerds were big. And this thing is just the size bigger than a baseball bat, actually. Yeah. It's more like a jousting weapon. We are now armed with mighty joint. It's like when you play Spy Hunter and use a smoke screen, you know, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just relax, man. Yeah.
Well, it's true. You shouldn't chariot and smoke and chariot, you know what I mean? Let's just pull over.
Well, I don't know. How's that affect your horse?
Makes him a little hungry, I guess.
You know, got to make sure you have a lot of apples.
Yeah, you never know. Apples, carrots. My parents had a horse that liked spearmint lifesavers. A little special treat.
Huh.
Now, this was shot on the Universal Studios backlot. This part right here. Because, I don't know how familiar you are, but this is actually part of the tram tour.
Oh, really?
Where the tram goes through this scene right here, yeah. Yeah, they say it's like Moses parting the Red Sea, and you're like, how are we ever going to cross? And they have somebody do it. And yeah, you literally go through it, like, right here.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still there or not, but this is in Hollywood. Not the one in Orlando doesn't have this. And then, yeah. And then there's Moses getting held up. An old man don't let you live, let you breathe. Oy. Where are we going? Judea.
Judea, of course, in this time, the real backwater of the region.
Yeah. And here we go, all the soldiers just hanging out. Do you care for Falls? The Roman Empire? Nah, fuck it, man. It's like, what have you done? We decided to take a break. Do you wanna dance?
Blend us. Yeah. And again, you've always got time for a dance break.
There you go. I'm guessing that's where LL. Did you ever the first time you got that
I
joke?
I forgot about it. I forgot it completely.
The name of the Israeli airline.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think I missed the part where he goes, you men go northward, you go southward. I'm just going to walk in a circle. And they're off on the road to Judea. And here we are in Judea. We'd find work here. Now, what would you want to be? The cashier, the waiter, or the dishwasher?
Oh, geez. Probably the dishwasher. Just be all off in the back. I don't have to deal with anything.
You have to deal with people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Being a waiter sucks. Comicus. Push the mulled wine. We're stuck with it. Don't write it down. Go. There's a private supper. Which turns out, I think it's the Last Supper, from what I'm getting. With the great John Hurt.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. He just passed away, I think, the year before.
Yeah, I think so.
Or better known today as Ollivander from the Harry Potter series.
Mm.
Are you all together, or is this separate checks? This may be our last supper.
They got their table matzah and maror, I believe. Yeah. The other did.
Who has betrayed you? And Judas. Would you like a beverage? Oh, Jesus, huh? Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah. What? Nothing. Yes. Jesus. Yes. What? What? No. You said what? What? Yes. No. Forget it. Oh, Armitrano. Sergeant Mauser from Police Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's another line that me and my friends would always use whenever we're like at a wedding or at a gathering where there's a whole bunch of us and everybody wants to take a picture.
Oh, yeah.
This is no good. All right, everybody, get up the other side of the table. Come on, you want to be in the picture? Come on, let's go. All right? And hold it for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's Mel Brooks holding the tray up behind Jesus' head. Good stuff.
Oh, man. And here we are, the absolute best segment of the entire movie. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible.
Yes. Again, this is the big dance, song and dance number of the movie right here. With the great Takamada. I think he was named Takamada just for that one joke. Let's face it, you can't talk him out of anything. Yes, you see all the monks or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could be the Undertaker's, you know, druids. You never know.
Sure.
The Grand Inquisitor. Now, this guy, I don't remember his name, but this guy appeared in a lot of stuff.
Oh, he's one of those character actors, yeah.
Yeah. He was always like the grouchy old neighbor or the evil old Nazi or something. And here's Mel Brooks again. Takamada. Let's face it.
I mean, that's another borscht belt joke.
Yeah. I'm going to refrain, but I literally could sing this entire song.
Oh, it's incredible. And it's the reason why I say this movie is so steeped in Jewish humor, because only someone that steeped in Jewish humor would make a musical and then a Busby Berkeley dance number about the Spanish Inquisition. and only one of the great Jewish comedians could possibly, you know, get away with doing a whole song and dance number about the literal torture of the Jews.
Yes. Of the Jews.
Oh.
It's better to lose your skull cap than your skull. Oy, kavots.
Oy.
I mean, it's just so, this is just genius comedy writing right here.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the guy on the left's name is, but there's the great Jackie Mason.
Yes.
Very funny comedian. Never translated to acting. I mean, you know, there's Caddyshack 2. He was the voice, I think, of that anteater in that old cartoon from the 60s or 70s. But I saw him on Broadway once when I was in high school. Actually, very, very funny. Yeah, it was the World According to Me, I think it was called.
Cool.
I was sitting in a temple, and I was minding my own business. I was listening to a lovely Hebrew mess.
They started playing ping pong with my balls.
Ooh, the agony.
Oy, the shame.
Can I make my privates public for a game? So funny. He's still around, I think, Jackie Mason.
I think so. I don't remember hearing about him dying.
I know. It's so sad when now that you start watching movies from like the 70s and 80s, it's kind of like, ugh. It's like watching old WrestleManias. Like gone.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, Takamada, what do you say?
Just
No.
Well, you're a voight. Oh, man. And just everything in this whole sequence is just perfect.
Now I bring... Oh! Now we have the tap number section.
Yeah, of course. Like you do.
he just hits the cops on the heads. Hey, Takamoto, walk this way. Come on, talk, you might win a buck. Yeah, you know. You know, that's a great, you've seen that in the casino before, right? The Rabbi Wheel of Fortune. Put it in the car.
Got the home game.
There you go. How are we doing? Any converts today? Not a one. Nay, nay, nay. Nothing's working. Send in the nuns. And out come the lovely nuns, and all of a sudden there's a raising of a floor, I guess, so to speak, above a pool, and of course...
And I mean, even at this point, how much of a throwback is the whole synchronized swimming mm-hmm. sequence?
Yeah, I tell you, probably my one of my top two favorite synchronized swimming sequences in movies. My other one being from The Great Muppet Caper.
Oh, man, of course.
That is one of my – I would love to do an episode on that. That to this day, is still one movie that will make me crack up more than like a lot of things. They had to shoot a lot of that in reverse because, you know, the Muppets were kind of wet, so you'd have to
– Well, with any synchronized swimming thing, you got your classic reverse sequences. But, yes, especially when you're dealing with felt.
And here come the rabbis all wearing – looks like Adidas or Converse sneakers.
Well.
It's so funny, the white sneakers that these guys have on. And then they get, sort of attacked by the nuns, I guess, so to speak. Oi! The bubble.
Oh, wow.
In your Busby Berkeley moment.
Exactly. Which, you know, speaking of throwbacks, the Busby Berkeley deal was like the 20s, right?
Yeah. Hey, you say Busby Berkeley nowadays, people like look at you if you got like 10 heads.
Wow.
It's just a sign of getting old. Looks like he's starting to convert them because they're all, like, all happy. Oh, man. And time for the big finish with a kick line. Very,
it's just so incredibly overblown with the menorah of nuns. it's just incredible. It's just incredible.
I'll tell you, if there's anybody that's listening to this is just listening to it like in their car because they, you know, like our shows, please seek this movie out and watch because it's way funnier than Glenn and I are giving it justice for.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
And then we're on to the final section of the movie. Probably the second longest part, right?
I'm not sure which segment is. This might be the longest section, right. Actually.
Oh, okay.
And it's a solid half hour.
Oh, that's right. And we have the French Revolution, where we go to the Rue de Merde.
The Rue de Merde.
Merde, which was one of Robin Williams' favorite words, I think.
Freshly picked apple cores.
Dead rats. I guess Todd Weber hates this scene. He mentioned in a chat earlier that how much he hates rats. Mm. Want some ratatouille? Nothing. I've got nothing to sell. Madame Defarge is in serving the scum of Paris for over 300 years. That's and that's actually John Hillerman right there, the noble.
Mm-hmm.
most known as oh crap, what was his character's name on Magnum PI? I don't remember, but he was also one of the Mr. Johnsons in Blazing Saddles, which is the Mel Brooks
connection. Right.
I'm sure I'm going to get yelled at for not knowing that character name from Magnum PI, and I'm not going to pull up a scroll though and look it up right now. And there's Cloris Leachman.
Well, you know what? Yes, of course.
Bonjour, scum. I told you, Glenn, my dog was going to be drinking. I don't know if you can hear him.
Oh, yeah. Yep, a little bit. You know, he is here with us.
Yep.
You know, my cat is sitting under my desk, kind of taking swipes at my feet.
Ah. My cat, I think, is sleeping in one of the other rooms right now. So he probably will make an appearance before the show's over, though. And here she goes, she's knitting nothing.
Exactly.
She cannot afford yarn. We are so poor, we don't even have a language.
Just a stupid accent.
She's right. And we all sound like Marie Chevalier. Ho, ho, ho. Death to King Louis. Oh, she pops her boob right here. Stand up.
Yeah, the Rome segment was only slightly about income inequality. If you really want to go into income inequality, it's the French fucking revolution.
Yeah. No, dumb scum. Don't repeat that. Death to King Louis. Now, let's end this meeting on a high note. Oh, she's too funny. Oh, Harvey. I could only imagine how many takes they had to do because of Harvey's, being known for cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any of those delicious raisins? You ate yours. These are mine. I paid for them. Hand them over. You ate all these are mine.
Don't be saucy with me, Bernays. I mean, there's no joke too simple.
To count the money. De Monet.
Exactly.
Who played Bernays? Let me see if I can look that up. Count the money! Count the money! let's see if I can find it. Jeez.
Bernays was Andreas Voutsinos.
Oh, jeez. Never heard of him.
Not someone that I particularly recognize.
Yeah. We shall get rid of your tailor. Use going right down to your balls. It's so funny too because I, in my spare time, I write screenplays. I haven't written anything for a little while, but I took a page out of Mel Brooks's book where I named a character just for one joke. I called it there's a girl named Casey who was about to get married in this one script, and she was marrying a guy named Steve Attabat, who was a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make her married name Casey Attabat.
Okay. All right.
At least I got you to laugh.
Yes.
Maybe laughing at me or not with me.
You know what? I'm not above it.
And here's the king. He's playing chess. Bet you half these guys were in Time Bandits.
Yeah.
Another great underrated comedy. And we have our live chess set. Knight to rook 7. Pawn threatens bishop. 3-1. Knight jumps queen. Bishop jumps queen. Pawns jump queen. We all jump the queen. Not quite the same at the Renaissance fairs these days when they do this, but hey.
Depends what Ren fairs you're going to, I guess.
I guess so. You're such a fool. Yeah, Harvey was so good. I love how you hear like the stories that they tell about the Carol Burnett Show, where they would get together without Harvey around to plot and find out try to figure out how they're going to get him to break down in the middle of a sketch. Yes, he's also Hedley Lamarr. Maybe it was a joke that he was always named characters that everybody mispronounced.
Oh yeah, the same gag as Blazing Saddles, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, Piss Boy. Wee wee? A lot.
Yes, a lot of it. Oh, man.
Keep searching, you'll find it. Don't I know you? You look like somebody familiar. No, I don't think so. Pardon, pardon. You're pissing on my shoe. Mind your thing. Hold on. Wait for the shake. There's your tip. Piss off. I'll get it later.
You were speaking of cleanliness of cash money?
Yes, I know. Oh, God. Do you think this was the one part he had the most fun with out of all the parts he played in the movie, Mel?
Well, I mean, in terms of getting to be a bit of a lech, probably.
Yeah, it's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king, yeah.
How are you doing?
I don't know. You could have a lot of fun in a Moses outfit, though.
Yeah. It's good to be the king. Everything's so green.
You know, it really makes you think.
Mm-hmm. Nice names. What can I do for you? Mademoiselle Krembold. There must not be good security here at the palace for this girl just to walk right in.
Yeah, you'd think.
A little wind out there. Please save my father. I'll do anything. Anything? I was raised in a convent. You don't put out, he don't get out.
Practically a Vestal Virgin, though.
Yes. Hump death, hump death, hump death. I don't know. I don't think Miriam was a Vestal Virgin much longer after they got to Judea.
Oh, well, maybe. This bit was also very educational when you know, I was watching this on basic cable as a young child.
Yeah. That's how the world works. It's either hump or death.
Well, we all have to make our decision, right?
Yeah, which side do you fall on?
Once again,
it's good to be the king. Oh, hey, count the money. Don't correct me. Harvey, you want to be in this movie? Well, am I trying to take over your position? Yes, I'll be in it. Just like Blazing Saddles.
Again, the simplest jokes. The people are revolting.
Yes, they stink on ice. And one of this, then he's you know, doing a little trap shooting. Off to the left.
Oh, man.
Ooh. Hate violence. I abhor it. Pull! Felt like a stone. I'm surprised this... I don't know why this is not as fondly remembered as Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein. Because there's so many quotable lines in this movie.
So many, yeah. I don't know, maybe the episodic nature of it puts people off a little bit.
Yeah. Again, here's one of my favorite lines we always say to my friends. You look like the piss boy, and you look like a bucket of shit. Wait, I do look like the piss boy.
Soccer blue, I do look like the piss boy.
Oh, I never noticed Bernays was being a little naughty back there behind the rook over there. Oh, let me grab a grape. And a squeeze. Now here's the piss boy looking like the king. Let's put that mole there. Why are you doing this to me? I don't know how to be a king. I can't walk in heels. Why are you doing this to me? Yeah, Harvey's been gone a long time, actually, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. on him. Tim Conway's still kicking.
Hmm.
Let's see. When did Harvey Korman pass away?
Oh, my 2008.
God. Wow. He was 81. Shit. And here's Madame Rumbold ready to get ravished. Okay. On the count of my demon.
Of course, he has to correct himself.
How old is she nowadays? Let's see. Pamela Stevenson. She was on Saturday Night Live. I remember her very briefly, though. 1949. So that makes her 60.
Hmm.
Here we go. Harvey's going for it. And off the balcony. Count the money. Count the money. Demon. Oh, Your Majesty. Oh, it's good to be the king. Come on, get my father out. Help me.
And now the movie is Dave.
Yes. Why don't we go out, have some wine, and then we can maybe hump. Oh, that's what I said. come on, let's get your daddy out of prison. Come on. I have to have something around here. Come on. There's a pardon. Where's a pardon?
Tough guy.
Here we go. Oh, one pardon. One pardon. After he found about 20 death sentences or whatever they call them. How do you spell that? Come with a huh? Okay, I'll figure it out. Sign Louis the 14. What? How do you say 14 in French?
14.
Oui, says you. Is the batshit crazy father now. Rumbold.
Well, I mean, a whole extended riff on the Birdman of Alcatraz, yes, is positively modern compared to the Busby Berkeley number.
Yes. Naughty kitty, naughty, naughty.
Now to invent the catapult. Oh, jeez. Again, the jokes are so stupid, but they're all good.
Yes. Oh! Oh! I have to release my birds.
Oh, and this bit is so good. Yes. Just simple prop comedy.
Yes.
Again.
With the dust flying everywhere.
Yes.
Fly away, birdies. Dump. Probably the Farrelly brothers probably watched this and got inspiration for Dumb and Dumber.
Mm.
Petey. Poor Petey. and the revolution has started. How can anybody get any sleep? Meanwhile, this woman's just getting around the palace.
Yes.
Any way she can. Here comes the father all crazy. He just has a narcolepsy, basically. Just falls asleep wherever. Dad! What fool put a carpet on the wall? Oh, my God. Even taller. Oh, here you are. A room right out of Willy Wonka. Gets smaller as he goes, who designed this place?
Yes.
That's, again, another line I use all the time whenever I'm somewhere and I'm like kind of like lost. I'm like, who designed this place?
Mm-hmm.
And Cloris Leachman is back. Wait, you have the wrong person.
France.
King Louis. All he has to do really is take the birthmark off and like, I'm not the king. The father's like, I just got out of jail. And the guillotine.
Now, how many Mel Brooks movies end with him very nearly getting guillotined? And how many would be improved if they did?
Oh, or hung. If you look at Blazing Saddles and Robin Hood.
Well, I don't know about that. I've not even met the man.
Oh. I was like, I might not have even been born a king or live like a king, but I can certainly die like a king. None. None. Let's test the guillotine. Holy shit! What the fuck? I'm not. No, I can't do this. No, I'm good. Nope. I'll wait. It has not even been invented yet. It's a tough crowd.
Yeah, I gotta do the stand-up philosophy again.
This guy has no idea what the hell's going on.
Only a miracle
will save him. That's right. There's a Roman soldier in the French Revolution. Hey, baby. Get in.
Well, that's another way the movie is pretty similar to Blazing Saddles in that, you know, there isn't really a way to satisfactorily end the movie. Yeah. And so they just go for a big meta gag.
Yeah. How'd you get here? Movies is magic.
Movies. Exactly. Headed for a big ending.
Whoa, that's a big ending. I love the end of Blazing Saddles, too.
I know, the first time I saw Blazing Saddles, the whole ending sequence was entirely confounding.
Yes.
But then again, I was very young. And again, it was the basic cable edit, which... with Blazing Saddles was a little restrictive.
Yeah, especially in the scene with Dom DeLuise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, which...
And now...
Know, coming soon.
Exactly. The other, like, fabulous musical sequence.
Hitler on Ice.
Hitler on Ice. Oh...
C. Hey, Viking funeral. Very simple scene, actually, with one joke.
Yes.
Really, That Vikings actually had horns, not their helmets. Jews in space! And there's the spaceship in the shape of the Star of David.
The Hebrew letters on the bottom of each ship spells out kosher.
Oh, really?
By the by. And we have suddenly, I mean, talk about budgeting this movie, where suddenly for the last 2 minutes we're doing a whole space sequence with models and effects and compositing.
Yes.
And we're doing the first draft of the Men in Tights song.
Yes. We're Jews in space.
Incredible. Incredible.
Awesome. Awesome movie. So, Glennie, what are some final thoughts on History of the World?
You know, coming back to it after not having seen it for many years, I forgot just how hard it went on the income inequality at times.
Yes.
You know, the whole bit with the Roman Senate and obviously a lot of the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. I said so many times during this, like, the jokes, a lot of them aren't thinkers, but yeah, they're just executed very, very well.
Yeah. Very puns and on the nose and just, you know, using, you know, just trying to think. That was running.
Just simple wordplay, physical comedy, prop comedy, puns, just every sort of comedy, and, you know, and parodies of everything under the sun.
Yes.
Just every kind of comedy is just thrown in. Like, it's bursting.
Ronnie Graham, that was Jew number two.
Ronnie Graham is Jew number two.
The nothing vendor, Spike Milligan. John Hillerman, yes, that's we mentioned him before. Coming attractions. Oh, I wonder if they ever plan to do a History of the World Part Two.
I think someone asked Mel Brooks at some point around the time this movie came out, and he said he would only do part four, never part two.
Oh, God, too funny. Jews in space, the Inquisition, Funky Town. I think that just solidified what music I'm going to use for this show. But, yeah, very funny stuff, yeah. Yeah, so you, I think you should definitely, when you have time, try to seek out High Anxiety, Silent Movie, any other things that you know in the Mel Brooks library that you haven't seen. I highly recommend it. So, Glenn, we got anything in the pipeline there besides Walk Around the Web? You think you and Mr. Willie will be getting together soon?
Yes, myself and my dear, dear friend, Mr. Steve Willie, are trying to get together, trying to make our schedules work, to get back together on the Spectacular. So hopefully, we'll make that work out soon and we'll be back on the feed. Otherwise, we have our Spectacular Advice shows, which we haven't done in a while because we haven't gotten any submissions in a while. So if anyone would like to send questions in, that's a show where myself and my brother and Mr. Willie, who is a very judicious and wise man, in my opinion, take questions from listeners and readers of the website for advice on life questions and dilemmas and food categories and you know, discuss, you know, some important issues relating to that. If you have any question for us, please email us spectacularadvice@gmail.com.
Awesome. Yeah. I've listened to those shows. Your grilled cheese episode was one of my favorites. We actually, I think we did a little messaging about that, discussing the best methods and the best cheeses, I guess, to use for grilled cheeses, which actually I had for dinner tonight.
Very nice. What kind did you have?
Actually, I had a mix of Munster and Colby.
Nice.
Yeah, on whole wheat. My girlfriend got me to stop eating the white bread to try to get somewhat healthier. I like to always have a... Oh, my cat just made an appearance. I don't know if you heard him. I always like to have two kinds of cheese on my grilled cheese. I like to... I find Munster and cheddar is usually a good one. Gouda.
Cheddar mixes very well with a wide variety of other cheeses, I've found.
And I have actually a special one. I call it my spicy grilled cheese. It's pepper jack and horseradish cheddar. Now, if you like the little...
Interesting.
Yeah, if you like your sandwiches a little on the spicy side, I highly recommend that. So, yeah, make sure you email Glenn and him and the conscience, Steve Willey, and his brother Scott. You guys are also known as the Brothers of Discussion. We'll answer your questions on the air, live to tape.
Indeed.
Yes. For myself, I recently had a few shows go up. I'll just talk about a couple. We actually just did Looking Forward, Looking Back, which should be up probably by the time you hear this. Glenn, you were actually on my first episode, Looking Forward, Looking Back, my first one ever as a host.
And
we looked forward to the movies that came out this past winter season in the fall. And we just looked back with Jenny and Scott. We kind of went over the movies. So it was a lot of fun hearing our thoughts after the fact, you know, after we did it before the fact. Also, Year in Pop 1974 is up on the feed right now. That's myself, my co-host Scott Criscolo, George Rivellino, and J. Arsenio D'Amato. A lot of people like to call us the hashtag Oldcast. 1975 should be coming out, I would say, probably sometime in May, I'm thinking. You know, April is a very busy month here at Place to Be Nation with WrestleMania coming up very soon. And then also, stay tuned. I have more Laughing Theaters planned. I'm actually going to sit down with the manager, Todd Weber, very soon, and we're going to be going over a movie from the 90s. I'm not going to say what movie, like to give a little surprise. And also, I will be appearing on Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer Smith coming up very soon. We're going to be doing a horror movie. I'm not typically a horror guy, but there is one subgenre of horror that I really love, and that's the a movie in that category is what I picked when Jenny approached me. So check out that. Go over to placemination.com. Check out the walk around the web and also other articles. We're getting more and more content on there. You should be seeing it hopefully by the summertime. Will be a bigger rotation of articles. Also go on both of our feeds, the wrestling feed and here on the pop feed where you hear myself, you hear Glenn. And then also go over to our pro boards at bigelow34.proboards.com. We have lots of projects. The greatest WWE televised match project is going on for till the end of the year. So get your submissions in, and then voting time will be coming probably sometime in the summertime. They'll probably have the final list up there. And then, just keep coming by and checking out all of our content. We have a lot of great comics, movies, sports. We have something for everybody here at Place to Be Nation. So, Glenn, I want to say a big thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. I had a good time.
Yes, I did too. We got to get you back on the feed a little more when your schedule allows it. But I appreciate you making time for me tonight.
All right.
Yes, all right. Left a dramatic pause there. So we're going to wrap it up right here. So I'm going to say, for Mr. Glenn Butler, I am Andy Atherton. You've been at the Laughing Theater. And for now, the theater is closed. We'll see you at the next showing. Take care, everybody. What a show!
Okay. Fucking okay.
Oh God.